Outkick the coverage live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
That guy right over there is Brady Quinn. I'm Jonas Knox. This is Fox Sports Radio. You can hang out with us as always on the iHeartRadio app, and you can listen to Outkick the coverage on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates. And wherever the hell you are making us a part of your Thursday, we appreciate you doing so. And we will take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio and beyond. And we will do so with none other than Brady Quinn. What's happening?
I'm just happy to be here, man. Happy to be here on a Thursday. Had a nice win on Headline or Lie. Always good to get a W in that column. You're still yet to get on the board, but I'm sure it's going to come at some point.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's so many. Plus, we got the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines in Southern California. Listen, why don't one of these guys just sack up and tee off in the dark? So we have a live sporting event, and who knows? Maybe somebody will pop on the show and live wager on the golf tournament. Like, come on, man.
Well, okay, so here's my solution to that. This is how you make that happen. And you'd know this if you ever came to my foundation or my charity's golf outing, because we have a night golf event. Like, you haven't been back after 1 year, 3 years ago. We have a night golf event. You have glow-in-the-dark golf balls. Now, granted, they take a lot of distance off your shots, but Bryson DeChambeau could probably hit them and still drive the ball about 300-plus yards. So just glow-in-the-dark golf balls. It's not that complicated, Jonas.
Okay. Here's a better idea. Do you remember the Nerf Turbo football? Remember that when you were a kid? Remember the Nerf Turbo?
Yeah, I think we reference Nerf Turbo footballs about once a week now.
Yeah. No. We don't. This is the first time I've mentioned Nerf Turbo. I've mentioned Nerf balls, but not Nerf Turbo.
not the Turbo. Oh, what about the one that whistles? Is that the one that whistles?
That's the one I'm going to. All right, yeah. So very good. Okay. So the one that whistles seemingly works more than maybe the glow-in-the-dark, because you can actually hear it coming. So why not put on one of the whistling effect on a golf ball in the dark, and that way you know what's coming so you can get out of the way? Because it's cool, glow-in-the-dark golf balls are neat and all, but if you start hitting shots all over the place because you've had a couple of drinks, I mean, I'd rather it whistle than glow-in-the-dark. Me personally.
Yeah. The whistling would help where the ball is going. It wouldn't help the person who's hitting the ball, though, find it, would it?
That's not the important part. The important part is to actually
score a round of golf. Yeah, that actually matters. You have to find your ball to hit the next shot.
Let me tell you something. If you're golfing in the middle of the night, you don't really give a rip about the score. You're just trying not to throw up on each other. All right, that's the whole goal.
Would know this if you ever came to our night golf event. You would actually see it play out. But again, you've chosen not to help out the veterans, not to help out the troops, and instead you've continued to just want to stay in your house and not come out and MC and be a part of our foundation event after one year, after one appearance.
That is dirty pool right there. You're gonna go, I don't want to. I don't care about the veterans. I don't want to help.
You haven't been out to support the cause since. I'm just saying, man.
You are the dirtiest player of the game. That is unbelievable that you would go that route, Brady Quinn.
Prove me wrong.
Well, listen, I mean, you know, if I could get an invite, I mean, I would love to be a part of the golf tournament every year. But unfortunately, I can't get an invite. I mean, you know, I get invited one time. I wear salmon pants, and you guys shun me from the tournament afterwards.
You got the invite every Sunday night. It was right there along with the betting instructions for Live Bet Jesus for his segment. But I think you crumbled up and throw it away every single time after the bet's made, given that it's usually a loser.
Well, listen, speaking of losers, if you had the Utah Jazz last night, -8.5, you're going to have to drive across state lines to go get a drink, because bye-bye cash, the LA Clippers pull it off, Brady Quinn. No Kawhi Leonard, no problem, and the LA Clippers take a 3-2 series lead over the Utah Jazz. And this is the part of the tease, which I don't know if you know that or not. I like to do that from time to time in radio. This is the part of the tease that I wanted to pay off. When it comes to timing is everything, it was announced Kawhi Leonard was going to miss that game about 4 minutes after we went off the air yesterday. And I'm actually a little bit offended because I feel like the Clippers were well aware of that before then and just chose to do it right after we went off the air so we couldn't have first crack at the story, which I take offense to because I think we really could have done a great job in the final couple of minutes of the program talking about why you should still bet the Clippers in that game five. And a lot of people say, you're just saying that after the fact. Well, listen, if LeBron James can do it when it comes to the injuries, I think we could do it with it comes to this game and which side to be on when you want to make a bet. So I think all is fair when it comes to the Clippers and their performance last night in Utah. How about that?
No doubt about it. I wanted to talk more about the game instead of what the hell you were just talking about. But
listen, that was a ballsy performance by the Clippers. I got to give him credit.
Was Paul George, was he inspired by what he saw from KD? Did he kind of see it in a similar light, you think?
I don't think we're going to put the two styles of play and performances on the same level. But here's the thing about Paul George.
It was a franchise record in regards to points and rebounds, yes. I believe, in a playoff game, which was significant. It's his third straight 30-point game. He's been playing well.
Yeah.
You have to imagine, though, he kind of put the team on his back. They had a huge third quarter. That was really the difference in the game. I just look at it and I wonder how much you watch other guys do it. Because this happens in the NFL. It happens in other leagues. You see another star do something. You see another player do something. You go, I'm going to try to one-up that. I do wonder how much that played a factor here.
I want to know when the team found out that Kawhi Leonard was going to be out. Because the conversation after, so when he suffered the, and all we know is that it's an ACL injury. We don't know if it's a tear. Like, I don't know of any other options outside of a tear for the ACL. Is it a sprain? What are the other options for an ACL?
It's very similar to like a kind of a hamstring, any sort of soft tissue injury. Is if they say a sprain, for example, if you really look down deep, you know, and if obviously there's a lot of swelling, you can't get great imaging, as Chris Mannix told us in the first hour. But usually there could be like a little micro tear or a little small tear to it. And that's more of the concern with ACLs. And Ryan Tannehill went through this back when he was quarterback for the Miami Dolphins.
That's right. Yep.
If you recall, it was a partially torn ACL. They thought they could rehab it. They thought they could put a brace on him and he would be able to make it through the season. He didn't even make it through the spring. He ended up having to miss the following season because he should have gotten surgery when it happened or as soon as he could after, and instead he didn't. Ended up missing the following year, and that really was the downfall, I think, of Adam Gase's time with the Miami Dolphins. You know, they brought in Jay Cutler. The rest is history. I would not expect Kawhi Leonard to be back, obviously for this series, but probably not at any point in time in the playoffs if it's an ACL injury. I have a hard time believing that going into a free agency year, he would want to risk it if there's any chance whatsoever of making this injury worse.
Well, and I think another guy was Charles Peanut Tillman when he was with the Panthers. That Super Bowl run, he had a partially torn ACL. He didn't want to have the surgery. He rehabbed it a little bit and wanted to play on it and ended up tearing it late in the season and missed the entire postseason. So it's kind of almost like a similar to the Kevin Durant Achilles stuff.
I was just going to ask you, do you think Kawhi has enough equity built up in the league with what he's done? Now, forget about the age, where he could survive coming back, playing, re-injuring it, tearing it, if that is indeed what we think it is, right? It's been reported it's an ACL injury. We don't know the severity. But if he was to come back, try to play, injure it worse, do you think he can still see a big contract on the other side and almost similar to Kevin Durant, where team's going to be willing to let him sit out for a year?
He's going to get paid. I mean, he'll get paid. It's going to happen. I wouldn't even be surprised if the Clippers went ahead and paid him and just figured out a way to get it done. How could you? Let me ask you, what would you do? Would you play?
Oh,
I think
play.
I'd come back. And, yeah, 100%. Yeah. I think I'd come back and play.
Think about this, though. He is 29. You know, he is 29 years old. When you get to that point, an age in 30, I think teams look at you a little bit different, even as a basketball player. But teams are going to look at you a little bit different. You know, they might be looking at maybe some wear and tear. I don't know. I think if you've got a suitor who's all in, and I think the Brooklyn Nets were all in on KD and willing to take that risk or willing to take the chance of doing that, I don't know. Maybe the Clippers are all in on Kawhi, and maybe they're willing to sign him to that contract if he was to get injured. Again, this is all hypothetical. But that's what's at risk. For me, yeah, I'd go play if I could. Even being banged up or injured, I would still go play, and that's partially because I'm an idiot. You know, like I love competition. I love playing. I would put it all out there on the line and suffer the consequences, even as dumb as they may be.
Here's the other aspect of this. This is what led to his breakup with the San Antonio Spurs. He was dealing with an injury. The Spurs and the Spurs doctors were trying to get him to come back sooner. He didn't feel right. He just didn't feel like he was 100%. And he decided to, for the betterment of himself and his health, not come back. And that led to, you know, guys like Tony Parker trying to call him out publicly. That led to, a lot of sort of side eyes given to Kawhi Leonard about his situation. And as it turned out afterwards, that ultimately was the undoing, because he felt like he lost complete and total trust and the training staff. So I think the Clippers training staff is going to take as cautious of an approach as they possibly can, because this is a guy who's already dealt with what he thought was a training staff who didn't have his back and wanted to put him in harm's way. And that leads me to believe that if I were betting right now whether or not he returns for the postseason, I feel like he's not going to. Like, yeah. I feel like, just based on previous experience, but I'm with you. I mean, if I already know that, you know, look, I mean, a full tear, it's probably going to happen. I don't know what the timeline of the recovery would be on a partial as opposed to a full. I would come back and play. But again, I'm like you, I'm an idiot. I shouldn't be trusted to make decisions like this. You know, I've had a knee injury.
So that's the thing, is I would almost be looking at it like this. If it's partially torn, and that's probably going to be the recovery you have to have anyway, why not give it a shot? I mean, I know some guys who've tried to play with a torn ACL. They've braced it up, tried to make it work. I'm not advocating for that necessarily, but I'm just saying if it's already partially torn, if that's what it's probably going to be, why not go out there and give it a shot once you feel like you've gotten the swelling down, it feels a little more stable, and at least you can give it a chance. And especially if the Clippers have given you any sort of reassurance that, you know, there'll be a big payday on the other side, and they are that team who would be in the sweepstakes for a guy like Kawhi Leonard. So a lot to contemplate. It really is.
And also, here's the other thing. I think we're kind of in, you know, uncharted territory here, because, you know, before this short turnaround for the NBA season, nobody suffered knee injuries and nobody rolled their ankles in the NBA, according to LeBron James.
Well, that's right. By the way, why should you watch with so many all-stars out? I mean, it's not like Devin Booker's still playing.
I agree.
You know,
I agree.
It's not like Paul George, who just had a historic performance for the LA Clippers, is still playing, or anyone else. Like, I mean, gosh, forget about who's that really good player for the Nets. His name's escaped me at the moment.
Yeah, it's Kevin Durant.
Durant. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. He's still playing, huh?
Yeah.
It almost was as if it was like a kind of passive aggressive, you know, tweet after internalizing what Kevin Durant did, and everyone was like, "Hey, best player on the planet. That's the best player in the NBA right now." It was almost like, well, yeah, but all the other favorite players aren't there. You know, he might be the best, but he's not your favorite. It was kind of a passive-aggressive deal there.
Yeah, no, definitely. He's got to be the voice of the league, LeBron James. You know, he's got to be the voice of the league. Got to let everybody know, like, I told you, this was me. I called my shot. I was the guy who tried to warn everybody. It's like, okay, dude, yeah, you were the guy. Nobody in the history of basketball has ever rolled their ankle, in an NBA game. Nobody's ever suffered a knee injury in an NBA game. This is all because of the quick turnaround. I get it. Okay, you. How do people see this? And look, Mannix brought it up earlier when we talked to him. He said, oh man, they're annoyed. Like, people within the league are annoyed that he goes to his social media platform and takes this approach, when it's like, dude, if you didn't like it, speak up. Yeah. If you didn't like the quick turnaround, you didn't like the start date, you didn't like the play-in tournament, you didn't like all this stuff, why did it get agreed to? Like, you can't agree to all this, and then it doesn't go your way, and then afterwards you want to bitch and moan about it. It just doesn't work that way. I'm sorry.
I'm with you. And especially for someone as influential as he is, you would think that he would, you know, tend to think, or at least discuss these things with his inner circle or his board of directors, whatever you want to call it. You'd think he would have those discussions before he would just start airing everything out on social media, because the reality is he's just frustrated. He's not a part of the playoffs. And as I asked Chris earlier, and I agree with his response, if he's right now in the hunt for another NBA Finals, there's no way he's tweeting or cares to tweet about this and complain about this because he's still got a shot of winning another title.
Agreed. All right, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox here on FSR. Coming up next, we will get to the bottom of a quarterback scenario in the NFL. A coach is saying one thing. Many people on the outside are saying another. And our NFL insider tells you what the latest is. That's next here on FSR.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
Coming up in, we will call it a little over 10 minutes from now, later on this hour, I smell a rat. There is a rat in the world of sports. We will get into all of that. Very, very interesting story out of the football world. We'll have that for you here again. A little over 10 minutes from now, later on this hour here on Outkick the Coverage here.
Talk about betrayal, man. Talk about betrayal. That's what this is a story of. I mean, it is a tale as old as time. A story of betrayal is what we have on our hands.
Yeah, but there is, you know, it's hard to trust people, but we definitely trust Albert Breer. He is from the MMQB.com. Albert Breer joins us here every single week on Outkick the Coverage. Albert, it's Jonas and Brady Quinn. How are you?
Good morning, guys.
What's happening? And so because we listen, we tried to build him up, and then he stonewalls us there when we get him on the air. What the hell is that about?
I mean, Albert.
I don't know. I'm really interested in hearing what this story of betrayal is. So I'm going to tune in after we get done here.
There you go. It's good stuff.
Well, I mean, since we're speaking about trust, I want to get your thoughts on this. We asked you about you, obviously Ohio State alum, and you know the program as well as you do. We were kind of laughing at Matt Nagy earlier this week talking about how there's no chance virtually that Justin Fields is going to be the starter week one. And just sort of, you know, coming up with different ideas as to how that could change. Why is that? Why is that the plan? Why have that already be set in stone before you even get to training camp and get to see these guys, him and Andy Dalton, side by side?
They've been pretty disciplined about, you know, their messaging. And I think as much as anything else, you know, there's a feeling in that organization that, like, hey, you know, for guys who are on the coaching staff, guys on the scouting staff, they have to win now. And then B, there's, you know, a lot of players in that roster. You know, you go down the line, guys like Khalil Mack and Eddie Jackson and Allen Robinson that are in the heart of the prime of their careers. And so, you know, you want to give them kind of some definition who the quarterback's going to be as well. So I think that's kind of the basis for setting it up the way they've set it up, where for the entirety of this spring, Andy Dalton's been working with the ones and Justin Fields has been working with the twos. And I know all along the plan has been Andy Dalton's going to take the first snap in training camp, and we're going to stick with the way it is. Now, that said, I also know that the plan is to get Justin Fields a lot of snaps in the preseason. And so if you're asking me right now, how can this change? I think it changes the first 2 weeks in camp if Justin looks really good running a second team offense and shows himself capable. And then it translates onto the game field. And if he's a revelation in preseason games, we've seen this before where rookies can at least set the stage to take the job from the veteran. I can still remember this with Blake Bortles, and I know it sounds like a bad example now and everything else, but, I mean, the Jaguars were telling everybody till they were blue in the face that Blake Bortles was going to be redshirted, and Blake looked really good in the preseason, and I think it was something like week three or four when he wound up taking a job from Chad Henne there in Jacksonville 7 years ago. So I think, you know, the opportunity for Justin Fields to – do what he can to take the job away from Andy Dalton is probably going to come in those preseason games.
Albert, is Matt Nagy on the hot seat in your mind if this thing starts to go south quickly from right out the gate?
Yeah, you know, I think one thing we sort of forget about Matt is what, you know, the Bears were before he got there and how they'd struggled, you know, under John Fox and under Mark Trestman and how he sort of straightened things out. And they're top 10 in the NFL in wins over the last 3 years, which sounds crazy, but they are. They've been in the playoffs too the last 3 years. That said, I don't think, you know, you can look at that roster and say things are necessarily on an upward trajectory right now. going from 12 wins to 8 the last two seasons. And so I think those guys are coaching for their jobs. I think, you know, the general manager, Ryan Pace, his job's on the line this year too. And I think as much as anything else, Brady, it's going to be more so than just the wins and losses, about showing ownership that you have the organization pointed in the right direction. And, you know, they obviously did, like, in the first year there, Matt did an awesome job. They won 12 games and got to the playoffs. You know, since then, we've seen tweaking and changing, and we've seen the collapse of Mitch Trubisky. And so I think some of that negative momentum, I feel like what's going to kind of – where the decision is going to be made for ownership is going to be where the momentum's going at the end of the year. And, you know, like let's be real about this too. A lot of cases, you know, a way to create positive momentum is to have a rookie quarterback playing really well coming out of the year.
Albert Breer joins us here on Fox Sports Radio. You can read his stuff on the MMQB.com. Jonas Knox, Brady Quinn here on FSR. I'll kick the coverage here. Get Albert on Twitter, at Albert Breer. Albert, we were talking about, speaking of quarterbacks, just the 2018 quarterback draft class, and just talking about, you know, deals that could be coming up for Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen, and just sort of what that could look like. Who do you, just best guess from people you've talked to, who do you think is the first guy to sign? Who's going to be the first one to put, you know, pen to paper and get a deal done before the others?
My guess right now would be Josh Allen, because I think of the three, there are probably the least questions internally in the organization about the staying power of the quarterback. And that's not necessarily saying, like, this is what he is today. But I think when it comes down to what each organization thinks about where their quarterback is going to be 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 7 years from now, I think the Bills probably have greater conviction on that in Josh Allen than the Ravens do in Lamar Jackson or the Browns do in Baker Mayfield. That's not saying that the other two teams don't have conviction in those two. I just think the Bills are probably a little bit more ready to do a conventional franchise quarterback contract with Josh Allen, where I think with Lamar Jackson in Baltimore and with Baker Mayfield in Cleveland, for different reasons, I think that there's going to need to be a little bit more creativity in getting those deals done.
Albert, I want to change gears quickly just because we saw yesterday the NFLPA set forth what is essentially the working conditions for those players who are vaccinated and those players who aren't. And boy, is there a stark contrast between the lifestyle that each of those players will lead.
Yeah.
But it seems like there's some players, Joe Mixon in particular, who was very outspoken about his displeasure with the NFLPA. What roadblocks, what issues do you see going ahead, given the fact that I think a little over half the league is vaccinated at this point in time? It seems like there's another half that maybe doesn't want to. Is this going to become an issue for the NFLPA?
Yeah, and I think it already has become one, Brady, to be honest. Like, I had a player reach out to me yesterday who said, well, it's sort of interesting how they fought so hard to make sure the off-season program is voluntary, and now they're turning around and almost making sure that vaccinations, while they can't require them, they're far from truly voluntary, you know? And so, I mean, and you look at the rules, I mean, it is what it is. I think the NFL and the NFLPA in tandem, because they agreed to this together, are sending a really strong message, which is, we're not going to require you to get vaccinated, but if you don't get vaccinated, it is going to be a long, long, long year for you. And it's going to, you know, affect the way you travel. It's going to affect the way that you eat. It's going to affect the way that you meet. It's going to affect the way that you lift. It's going to affect the dynamics for teams, you know. And I thought one of the most interesting things is the weight room restrictions, right? Like, if everyone in the weight room is vaccinated, then it's business as usual. If there's one unvaccinated player in the weight room, then only 15 guys can be there once. I mean, think about that. You know what I mean? Like, there are just, like, little twists and turns to this. Like, the unvaccinated players have to show up to camp 5 days early to go through the testing cadence. When they're on the road, A vaccinated player can go out to eat with his family. He can go and meet a buddy he might know in whatever city he's in. And the unvaccinated player has to sit in their hotel room like last year. So it's really interesting, and it's going to be interesting to see, like, if this winds up creating an uptick in the numbers over the next 6 weeks or so. Because for guys to have a normal camp, if you're going to have the Pfizer or Moderna vaccine, which I think by all accounts are the two ones that are probably, I think, more tested and true right now, you actually have to get the shot right now. Because it'd be, you get the first shot, then you have to wait 3 weeks, you get the second shot, then there's a 2 week waiting period. In fact, I can tell you this, the Bengals today are having a vaccination day at their facility, and they're selling it to the players. This is your last chance to get the shot and have a normal training camp. So it's going to be interesting to see the way that all this works. And, I know a lot of guys have said that this is sort of a personal decision, and it is, and that they don't want to disclose what they're going to do. But everyone in those buildings is going to know who's vaccinated and who's not. And,
right.
The reason why is you can walk into a meeting room and you can see who's wearing a mask and who isn't.
Which it seems like that might be a violation of HIPAA rights, right? Because isn't that kind of personal medical information? I'm not a doctor or a legal expert, but it seems like it's fairly simple. And I do wonder if that's going to be the issue. Let me ask you this, Albert, just quickly on this topic. How closely will the NFL be monitoring how the NBA handles Chris Paul? Because he was a vaccinated player, yet he's in the COVID-19 protocol right now. We don't know what that means. But, I mean, obviously, just because you're vaccinated doesn't mean you can't get COVID or can't have the chance of necessarily spreading COVID. In fact, the CDC even says on their website, they don't know yet. You know, they don't know how effective it is from stopping to spread it. They just know that that individual will face less harsh symptoms or potentially, any issues of going to the hospital. That's all they really have on their website. So is this maybe subject to change to some degree, or is this set in stone from here moving forward?
I think we saw last year. I mean, this is like all these regulations are for now. They had to come up with training camp rules, and that's what they've been working on for the last few weeks, the NFL and NFLPA. And so they wanted to come up with some set of rules that would at least give guys a chance to start the process of getting vaccinated and knowing what they'd be dealing with when they get to training camp. And so that's where it is right now. Conditions have changed a lot and a lot of different times over the last year in our country. And we saw the rules change over time in the NFL during the season last year. So, I don't think any of this is set in stone. And I think there certainly could be different rules in September and October than there are in July and August. I will say this. You mentioned the NBA and Chris Paul. All of these leagues have been working really closely together and trading information and trying to make it easier on each other. So, while all this stuff is private and we may never figure out like what the exact circumstances are with each individual player, I do think in an effort to try to, help everyone do things the right way, the leagues have been working together. And so the Chris Paul situation, I think, will be an interesting test case. And my guess would be the NFL is going to be able to glean some information from that that'll help them chart some sort of course going forward.
You can get him on Twitter at Albert Breer. He covers the NFL for the MMQB.com, does a great job, and we always appreciate a few minutes of his time. Albert, thanks so much, man. Hopefully we can do it again soon.
Albert, you're the man.
Awesome, man. Awesome, guys. I'm really looking forward to hearing what you have to say.
It's a goodie. It is a goodie. We will get to that. Thank you to Albert Breer joining us here on Fox Sports Radio.
I love
Brady
Albert.
Quinn. He's awesome.
He's the best. Yeah, he is.
He doesn't remember this, but I actually ran into him in the bathroom at a South Carolina Gamecocks game years ago. They were playing Georgia in Columbia in South Carolina, and I ran into him in the bathroom, and I didn't know whether or not I should introduce myself.
What kind of watch was he wearing?
No, I'm not, this isn't a urinal joke. Get your mind out of the gutter, right? I'm not making the urinal joke where you stand next to some guy and say, hey, what watch you got on? Like, this is not the joke at the time
to make
that
joke. It's more nice watch, but go ahead.
But no, I just, he was a guest, a longtime guest of Fox Sports Radio. radio when I was producing some shows, and I didn't know whether or not to introduce myself because it's a little bit of an awkward time to introduce yourself. We weren't at the, you know, taking care of business. We were waiting in line. It was a long line. Anyways, whatever. We'll talk about it with him next time. He probably doesn't remember. Who cares? All right. Jonas Knox, Brady Quinn, Fox Sports Radio. All right. So coming up next, we want to make sure we have full time for this. There's a lot to break down. It is a story of betrayal, Brady Quinn, in the world of sports. Yeah.
Tale as old as time. I said, "Itu Brutai." You know, this goes back to the ancient Romans and Greeks.
Yeah. This is was it Julius Caesar who got stabbed in the back?
That was.
I remember that.
You know, you too, Brutus. His best friend stabbed him in the back.
Damn right.
This is a story of betrayal, ladies and gentlemen. I'll leave it at that. Jonas is the best at the tease, but this could get juicy.
Well, I just want to point out, speaking of Caesar, I almost threw up in a trash can at Caesar's Palace because I was so bombed last time I was there.
I almost threw up one time from a Caesar salad because it had anchovies in it. It was way too thick of anchovies. And I was like, ugh.
Nice.
Yeah, this isn't going to be good.
Who the hell puts anchovies on a Caesar salad?
It's actually pretty common. In fact, I think it's in the dressing.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, there goes that take. So I'll have to use that on the overnights. Don't worry, that'll be revived on the overnights with a little bit of a spin to it. All right.
Hold on. Roberto, can we F8 that for the podcast? Roberto, I think that's what Jonas usually says.
Let me hold on a second. Roberto, you're the chef here. Are anchovies ever on a Caesar salad?
Yeah, that's correct. They are anchovies.
All right. So again, I'll use that on the overnights.
Do you know where the Caesar salad comes from?
Where is it?
Where was originated? TJ.
I don't know. Tijuana?
Tijuana?
Yep. Yeah. That's
correct.
Damn right. Yeah, Brady, you don't know what that life is. He doesn't get it, Roberto. He doesn't know.
I've been to the place. Cesar's and TJ, the name of the place.
Oh, there
that's
you
it. Go. Look at that.
So we've been saying it wrong. It's Cesar. It's not Caesar.
It's Cesar's.
Mm-hmm. Cesar's.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
The guy is actually Italian. He's actually Italian, though.
Okay. Huh. Yeah. Well, listen. I mean, look.
You learn something every day.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Listen, that's why the Cooking with Roberto segment on the Ben Maller Show is the highest rated segment on the show because he delivers the goods. And the best part about it is if somebody tries to call in and argue with his recipe, he just tells them to screw off and threatens their life. It's great. Literally, it's great. Like it's like Guy Fieri meets an MMA fighter. If you don't like what
he
has to say,
Guy who?
Get roughed up. Fieri.
Yeah, who?
Yeah, it's
who
a little Italian.
Saying?
Italian, you guys don't get it. Listen,
then why don't you pronounce it as Guy Fieri?
Because I don't want to.
Okay.
Who cares? All right. Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox, Outkick the Coverage, Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next, though, a story of betrayal. In the world of sports, it is a football story, and it is yours next here on FSR.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's Brady Quinn. I'm Jonas Knox. This is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. You can hang out with us as always on the iHeartRadio app, and you can do so tomorrow here on the Friday edition of the show. Brady Quinn and I will be back here for a little fun before you head into the weekend here on Outkick. So that should be a good time, Brady Quinn. I know you're fired up about it. You're looking forward to it, huh?
Yeah, Fridays tend to be our loosest show because it's always good to get fired on a Friday as you head into the weekend. It makes things a little bit more fun.
Totally.
So in the event that we do get canned, at least we'll be going out with a bang, you know?
When I got the first radio job I had that I lost was actually on a Friday. So thanks for bringing that up. That's awesome.
When you got it on a Friday, you got fired on a Friday?
I got let go on a Friday.
Yeah, of course. Everyone gets let go on a Friday. It gives you a flying off period. You don't come back in, try to fight the boss, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, a severance check would have helped so I could go drinking, but I'm still waiting on that. But again, don't want to get into all that conversation.
Was
here.
Was that in South Carolina?
I don't want to talk about it. All right. Pete Thamel of Yahoo, a gentleman you referred to a week ago as Thamel the Camel, which is oddly...
Thamel Camel.
Yeah, very, very bizarre, but really, I like it. I like the name. It really, I think that it's got staying power. He had an article out yesterday for Yahoo talking about how Arizona State, the athletic department, is under investigation. And to sum it up, just to make this as easy as possible for everybody to understand what is happening, is apparently Arizona State, while there were all sorts of COVID restrictions during last season, had a grip of recruits come in. And we're talking recruits, their families, parents, all of which coming in to interview. Somebody spoke with a source directly with direct knowledge of the program, spoke out and reported screenshots and pictures and you name it of all these recruits that were there. There was one portion of the article that pointed out that, on one weekend in October, this from the article, there were so many high school kids visiting that a staff member parked a 12-person van in the parking lot to tour around recruits. Now, of course, with COVID and all the restrictions and the recruiting restrictions, this is not a good look. It also led to a deeper investigation there were some disgruntled employees that were not happy about things. There was Antonio Pierce, who's the associate head coach. Apparently, people are not happy with him there within the program. So somebody close there blew the whistle on Arizona State and Herm Edwards. It is a story of betrayal there. For the Sun Devils and Herm Edwards, who was trying to do some great things there at the program.
And I got a question. Okay, yeah. Who's the rat? Who is the rat within the Arizona State staff, organization, whatever you want to call it? Because the interesting thing, as you point out, Antonio Pierce has a lot of titles. I believe he is the assistant head coach.
Yeah.
He is also the defensive coordinator, and he is the head recruiting coordinator.
And the thought is he's the coach.
He's the next guy. Yeah, right, right. And what's the motivation? Like, what's the motivation behind whoever the whistleblower is? I mean, if it was in part because of the way they went about the COVID restrictions, well, look, we're on the other side of that now. Plenty more players are vaccinated. Obviously, Herm Edwards, their team was drastically impacted by it. He had COVID at one point. They ended up only playing 4 games of the 6 they were allotted in the Pac-12. And so it begs the question, who is the rat and what do they have to gain? And I don't think we're going to figure this out here in the next 2 minutes before the end of the show. But I will say this. It's got to be someone with a motive either to push Herm out or to help elevate someone from within. That's the only 2 things that this could make sense for. Otherwise, why would you go blow a whistle on all of this when we're on the other side of COVID as it currently sits? And the last thing I just say is this. I mean, they got caught for cheating, and they really didn't win anything, which is the worst thing that you could possibly, worst thing you could do. Like, at least when USC got caught, they won a national championship. They were in the running for another one. Like, they had something to show for it. They're like, yeah, we did, but here's our trophies. Like, no one, don't look at the trophies. Don't look at what we were doing here on the side.
Yeah.
Arizona State, I think, has been, 17-13 since Herm Edwards got there. And he did basically on the way in say, I'm going to build this like a pro model. Which, at the time, I kind of took as, okay, there might be some rules being bent a little bit here.
Well, listen, it's like taking PEDs and you end up getting fat. What was the point? You were expecting results and you got none. Now, Yahoo reached out to Herm Edwards. He said, no comment, thanks. But we actually were able to get in touch with Herm Edwards. No stone unturned here on the morning radio. Again, this is not Sunday nights, Brady Quinn. This isn't the weekend stuff that you're used to on sports radio. No stone unturned. We actually were able to catch up with Herm Edwards and get his thoughts on this situation there with the Sun Devils.
I got this rat. Annoying, cheating rat.
Again, we got to get to the bottom of this, Brady. There's a rat on campus, and you and I have got to get to the bottom of it. Lay out the cheese, and let's find out who the rat is. I'm telling you, this is important stuff, Arizona State.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.